Episode 83, Mastering Legal Tech and Strategy with FileVine's Vice President of Strategic Partnerships, Eric Bermudez. Our next guest is Eric Bermudez, Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at FileVine. FileVine is a law practice management platform dedicated to empowering all organizations with tools to simplify and elevate complex, high-stakes legal work. FileVine facilitates everything from document management and client communications to contract lifecycle management and business analytics. Eric brings a wealth of knowledge from his time both at FileVine and KLAS. His journey in the realm of strategic partnerships and market research has positioned him as a key figure in shaping the future of legal tech. With a skill set that spans healthcare information technology, market research, business strategy, and beyond, Eric's insights are both valuable and transformative for the legal services industry. Join Eric and me as we dive deep into the world of legal tech and strategic growth. Enjoy. Have you been enjoying the TechSavvyLawyer.page podcast? Consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast feeds. Eric. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me.
I appreciate you being here. And to get things started, please tell us what your current tech setup is.
That is a phenomenal question. I have turned into, over the past, I would say, 5 or 6 years, I've turned into an Apple fan. So I have a very simple setup. This may blow your listeners away, but really all I use for 99% of my work and my personal life is my Apple 13-inch laptop. You know, MacBook Air and my iPhone 14 Pro Max. I love both of those things. And that's the majority of where my work and personal life happen.
Now, hold on. I want to pause that for just a second. So you have a MacBook Air 13-inch. What's the chip?
Oh, you're asking me for questions. I don't know. I have no clue. It works fast and it works fast enough for me.
Is it an Intel chip or an M1 chip or an M2 or M3?
Which ones did they place in probably 2 years ago? Would that be the, could it be either one?
Probably be the M1 chip, possibly the M2 chip. Here's a little tip for you. So if you take your mouse and scroll up to the Apple on your top left and
Apple,
say about,
I'm assuming, oh, about, okay.
Yeah, and hit about this Mac, you should see your computer.
Oh, there you go. So the chip is Intel. Intel Core i5.
So I think you need to talk to the powers that be, and they need to upgrade you to an M chip. I think the current Apple Airs are on M3s. I could be wrong. It could be M2s. You will notice a huge performance bump.
I'll tell you this. I've had this for a couple of years now. I have yet to be unimpressed with the performance of the laptop. So, hey, if it's even better, that's just icing on top of the cake. I'll take it.
So, I tell you what, if you convince them to upgrade you, of course, you know, it's the boss who's got to do it. Tell me if you notice a difference.
I will do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would love to hear back from you on that. So you have an iPhone 14 Pro Max?
Yes.
And you're using special headphones today. Do you know what they are?
These are Skullcandy.
Okay.
Skullcandy, local company here to Utah. I think actually they're based out of Park City, Utah.
Excellent.
And so they're all over the place in any retail shop here in Utah, right? And so I was a huge fan of the AirPods, but you know, I get tired of the toggling between syncing with my phone, Bluetooth, syncing with my laptop, Bluetooth. And so I decided to plug in for today in this podcast to make sure we have no issues there.
And do you enjoy your AirPods?
I love the AirPods. I mean, that's probably, my wife got those for me 2 or 3 years ago. And she said, do you think you'd use something like this? And I said, I think so. I use them every single day. They're awesome.
And are they the AirPods or the AirPods Pro?
They are the AirPods Pro.
Excellent.
You know, and one of my biggest things that I worried about is I was of the flavor looking at these things that had no attachment to the body other than you stick them in your ear, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, with jogging, with exercising, are they really going to stay in my ear? And after the 1 or 2 or 3 times exercising and jogging with them, I was very impressed how stable they were in your ear and how well they played and the sound and the quality.
Yeah.
And I've been a huge fan ever since then.
So one day, if you have an interest in upgrading even further, try the AirPods Pro Max.
Are those the ones that just came out months ago?
No, these are the on-the-ear cans, similar to what your Skullcandy is.
Oh, okay.
And they're wireless, and it's a step up for sure because it has a better noise-canceling function. So
awesome.
I wear them like when I'm traveling, you know, when I want to kind of tune everyone out, or Sometimes I'll use them while I'm podcasting because I want to tune out the other noises in the house. I'm recording from my studio at the house right now. And the sound that you get from those are even better than the sound that you get from your Pro Max.
No kidding. I'll have to try those out. I'm always on the lookout for, especially, you know, I'm a huge music guy. So that would be great.
Go to the Apple store and ask to try a pair and compare it to what you're listening to. The story is my wife and I went to Hawaii like 4 years ago, and I had meant to get a pair at the Apple store to try because they have like a great 2-week return policy. And I figured upon my return, you know, if I didn't like them, I'd return them. And I didn't have time. And I ended up finding myself in the Apple store in Hawaii because I dropped my iPhone into the ocean, only about 4 feet, and I needed to get some sand out. So while they were doing that for me, I tried on a pair of their AirPod Pro Max and I fell in love and I bought them immediately. It was that good.
No kidding. Okay. Sold. I'll have to go try that trial and see if it works out.
And make sure you put it or possibly put it either on your own or your company's Apple business account, which I'm assuming it has. And if it doesn't have, you need to make sure that they have it because they get the extra white glove treatment. And I think over time they can earn some small discounts and extra bonuses.
Awesome.
Let's get into the questions. Question one, what are the top three ways attorneys should expect their client relations management, law profession management platforms like FileVine's LeadDocket to seamlessly work with a third-party marketer?
You know, that's a very timely question, Michael, in my opinion. I've been with FileVine for coming up on 4.5, almost 5 years now. And I've always led partnerships here at FileVine from day one. It's not uncommon during a day or a week where I get multiple calls from prospect partners wanting to partner with FileVine. Here at FileVine, we're approaching 4,000 firms. We have fantastic momentum in the marketplace. And I feel like we're doing a lot of great things. And so naturally, I think, you know, folks are looking for partnership opportunities, which is great. I love exploring those. And I love seeing the potential synergies between many of these companies. I say that because probably 50 to 60% of all of those phone calls every day and week that I receive are marketing agencies or advertising agencies for law firms. So there's a lot of them out there. If I were an attorney right now deciding who to work with, there's a lot of choices. There's no lack of choices and companies that can do your marketing for you. So this is something really important is how can the CRM, how can the technology that I use work with these marketing agencies that I employ to make sure that all parties are accountable and that we're achieving the results that both parties want to achieve, right? So, you know, in thinking about this question, I go back to a lot of my interactions with a dear friend of mine, a great partner of ours. He's actually one of the co-founders of LeadDocket, which was a company that FileVine acquired about 3, maybe 4 years ago now. His name is Harlan Schillinger. And maybe you've heard the name. I'm sure maybe some of the listeners have heard the name. But Harlan coined the term, you don't know what you don't know. And I think about that often. And he always uses the example, a managing partner walks into his law firm on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning or pick a day. And the first question is, how many cases do we sign up? But Harlan astutely points out the question that's often missing or no one knows the answer to is how many cases could we have signed up or should we have signed up but didn't? How many of those slipped through the cracks? So when you talk about a CRM like LeadDocket or FileVine, it helps answer that question because most teams don't know. They don't have that kind of insight. And so something like LeadDocket can help answer that question, right? So if I look at going back to your question, what are the top three ways that a technology can help when it comes to working with marketing companies? Here are the top three. And I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I take the TTR approach when it comes to answering this question. And the first T is technology. The second is touch. And the third, or the R, is results. Now, let me back up a little bit and kind of explain and expound upon each of those. And if you have any questions, please, you know, feel free to dig in. But I use this not because I've done a research study or a scientist or anything like that in behaviors, but just in working with hundreds of law firms and hundreds of marketing companies and managing partners to really focus in on and zoom into what matters most. The technology component, which is that first T. There are always standards. There are processes and systems that a law firm uses in order to scale the business. I have found that some law firms are great at those and other law firms are not so great. When you implement a technology and you don't have those things ironed out, there is no documentation around the process, it's really difficult to install a technology to help support those systems when there's no systems in the first place, right? But if you have a firm that has all of that documented, a technology can be a huge catalyst to give you insight that firm never had before. So I think that first T being technology is it simply allows the relationship between a marketing agency and the law firm to have certain metrics and systems in place baked into a technology like Lead Docket that will help share insight. It will help from a tracking standpoint. It will help from a reporting standpoint. And most importantly, it now gives you a foundation and a launching pad. That firm can take that intake process and scale to heights that if you didn't have that technology, you would never be able to achieve. So that's kind of my thinking behind that first T of technology, which leads me into the second T, which is touch. One thing that I learned in before Filevine, I worked with a healthcare research firm and consultancy. And even in healthcare, whether it's legal, whether it's healthcare, whether it's retail, it's really hard to automate relationships. That human touch factor is really hard. I think there are a couple of companies that I won't name, not in legal specifically, that have gotten really close to automating relationships, but the large majority of industries today, it's really hard to automate that. Why that's important in this question is because that touch element, that second T, which is touch, something like Lead Docket or technology really does help give that intake team the insight they need and the context to make a better human connection, in my opinion. So if they can have the information, if they can have more resources at their fingertips, if they can understand the data, it can help them build a stronger relationship faster, in my opinion. So which ultimately will lead for a greater signup ratio, a greater conversion percentage. So I think there's a lot that can help in there with that second T as you look at technology and marketing specifically. And lastly, I'll keep this short. It's the result, right? Which is the R. So really what matters at the end of the day is what are the results? How many leads do we get from each marketing pipe, whether it's billboards, whether it's TV, whether it's social media, whether it's strictly phone call, whether it's referrals? How many are we getting? How many should we sign up? How many are we signing up? How many didn't we sign up? And something like Lead Docket helps you answer and track to the minute, to the second, real time, honestly. It helps you track and answer all of those questions. And as a team, you can have greater performance, greater insight, and greater accountability. The one last thing I'll mention on this question, Michael, and I think this is interesting, is that I can't remember where I found the article, but there was one article around the efficiencies and effectiveness of players. And are NFL players, football players, giving it their all during practice, giving it their all during games, every single play? And a research team got together and actually developed an undershirt, kind of like an Under Armour undershirt type thing that had biometric monitors inside the shirt.
Okay.
So the medical staff, the administration staff and coaching staff could actually look on a monitor, the heart rate, the respiratory metrics, all of those biometrics to see, is that player actually giving it their full effort on every down or are they taking downs off? And they use that in a carrot and stick, you know, scenario to really help that team become better as a team and as individuals. And that's what I think about is as an intake team, as a law firm, things like Filevine and Lead Docket software can really help track our team members and teams giving it their all, every single phone call, every single case, every single day. We feel like that's just a healthy business insight to make you grow and help you become a great law firm.
So let me pull a little bit on your second T for a second. I'm going to try and make an analogy and hopefully this will work. From what you're talking about setting and having technology work with your marketers, your advertisers, et cetera, there's been a big uptick in the use of AI in the practice of law. And there's also been clear limitations. There are things that AI simply can't do, yet lawyers are expecting the technology to be able to handle, like write a brief with complete citations, correct citations, and correct analogies, and, you know, having good arguments. So what are some things perhaps that lawyers and even the marketers should not expect in this transference of technology by their actual touch?
That is a really good point. Here at Filevine, we have now probably 6 or 7 AI-based products that work in conjunction with the Lead Docket platform and the Filevine platform. And each of them serve a little bit different purpose. I've always thought personally, now this is my personal statement, but I've always thought personally when it comes to AI, one of the hardest things as a software company working with law firms is managing expectations regarding AI. Because of the statement you just made, you are absolutely right. right? Hey, can AI after dinner tonight, you know, bring me my car from the parking garage to the front of the restaurant? Well, no. I mean, there's, and obviously I'm being a little sarcastic here, but you get right. The idea. Artificial intelligence is such a buzzword right now that I think sometimes expectations get a little bit out of whack. The other opposite end of the spectrum is you have many legal professionals that think AI is not real. It can't do anything. There's no meaning to it. It's absolutely shallow, and it's simply something that can't work for me. And that's not correct either, in my opinion. I think managing expectations and having a middle ground to exactly what AI can do is really important for the market to understand. And obviously, I'm biased, but being here at Filevine, I think we have found that perfect middle ground. Today, this is something that's evolving day to day, week to week, month to month. So what I say today may be very different than what I could say in 3 months from now. And even if we look in the rearview mirror, 6 months ago, our AI technologies at Filevine were so incredibly different than what they are today. So that brings me to my answer to your question here. Today in Lead Docket, when it comes to marketing and leads, we have a function called Leads AI built into Lead Docket, which runs queries against a national data set that can help that intake professional and legal professional understand the value, the legitimacy, and the quality of that case immediately. Once you gather an initial set of information real time, whether it's on a call or wherever, that intake professional can understand, is this one that we need to chase or not? Is this worth it? And every law firm is going to have different standards and benchmarks, right? Do they take lower ones or do they take higher ones? And is it based on value or is it based on the type of case, right? The AI can run against a huge national data set that would take a very long time for someone to do manually. And within seconds, they can get that result right there in front of them in Lead Docket that can help them understand how hard do we want to push? How do we want to treat this client and what do we do? And it will help that legal team do that from the start. So that's just one example of what's live and real today. And we have very similar functions regarding AI in the Filevine platform. And that would be a whole nother conversation. But if you think of Filevine as the heart of the law firm where documents reside, where legal professionals do their work, and then you couple all of that together with artificial intelligence, there are powerful tools that can give you summaries, that can give you suggested actions, that can give you context on a case in a matter of seconds. So if you're an attorney leaving court and you know that in 3 minutes you have a phone call with a client, but you cannot remember for the life of you what this case is about, you can click a button and within seconds, you can get a summary that reads very easy in paragraph form. You can read that within 15 seconds and you're going to be 1,000% ready to take that phone call with that client in 3 minutes. So there's a lot of things that it does. There's a lot of things that it doesn't. And that's why I go back to managing expectations when it comes to the legal market and artificial intelligence is very important.
Pardon the interruption. I hope you're enjoying the TechSavvyLawyer.page podcast as much as I enjoy making them. Consider buying us a cup of coffee or two to help defray some of the production costs. Thanks and enjoy.
Well, let me ask you this. So with regards to this specific piece of AI that you're talking about, I'm a solo practitioner and I understand that your software could help me figure out whether this is a worthwhile case, if this is within the bailiwick of what I do, if this is something I should or shouldn't pursue. And what I'm wondering, is it going to be able to pick up on certain nuances that, yes, this is something in my practice area, and although the AI is saying I maybe shouldn't take the case, there are other nuances about why I would take the case that's sort of outside the norm.
1,000% that's applicable. And actually, that should be the case. One misnomer that we feel is in the marketplace is AI is going to take over the legal professional's job. Mm-hmm. And today, my personal stance is I don't believe that's the case. I think there are certain individual work pieces and activities where AI will absolutely be able to replace it, but it will always be in support and aid of the lawyer and of the legal professional. Filevine CEO, Ryan Anderson, you may have chatted with him before. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact phrase he uses, but there was one slide that he shared at our most recent users conference. And the slide was AI will replace lawyers. And everyone in the audience they gasped, right? Like, oh no, this is coming. What's Ryan going to say? But the next click popped up an additional clause underneath that, which says those lawyers who don't embrace AI.
Right.
Right.
Agreed.
And I'll go back to that. There's always going to be an opportunity for the legal professional to embrace technology that will aid them to do better and greater work And there's always that human element. If you feel like there are certain criteria where even though the AI pops up that says, this is not a case that you should take, but there are these other elements, of course, you need to look into that. It would not be smart to always just simply rely on an algorithm and say, that's absolutely what I have to do. So yeah, there's always going to be that human element, whether it's in lead docket regarding leads or whether it's in FileVine, and you're saying, give me a police report summary of this 13-page police report, and you click a button and within 10 seconds, you get that summary.
Yep.
You still should glance through it. We have teams here, but you should still always have that human element. But the idea is, rather than taking an hour to do that, now it's 15 seconds and you can take 3 minutes to review. You still save a huge amount of time.
Well, Eric, can you tell us perhaps three specific pinpoints that your CRM LPMs should be sharing and working with your advertisers?
Absolutely. It's a great question. And I'll caveat this with every firm's going to be a little bit different in terms of what their priorities are. But really, and this isn't going to be new news to anyone that's listening, but at a basic level, what's the volume? What's the total that this marketing firm is driving towards my law firm? Because at a basic level, if you're not getting hype, what are you paying them for in the first place?
Right.
Then we get into a little bit more of the quality metrics, not necessarily the quantity metrics, right? So out of that total bulk, how many are we actually converting? The quality of the leads. And as I stated before, I think it's also important, thirdly, how many are we not signing up? And could that point to some quality pieces that will drive deeper conversations with your marketing agency? Where are we targeting the wrong markets? Are we in the wrong locations? Are we airing during the wrong times? Think all of those three simple data sets. That's not it. That's not the end goal. I think the end goal is to consistently optimize your marketing strategies with your marketer, ultimately help you get more leads. So yes, they're important, but even more important are the questions that data drives, if that makes sense.
Yes. Excellent. I appreciate that. Let's move on to question number two. What do you feel the top three pain points lawyers have in adopting new technology, and what are the best ways to overcome them?
That's a great question, Michael. And this is going to be blended a little bit with my previous company's experience in healthcare. As you're dealing with physicians and technology, it's not super or dissimilar to lawyers and technology or legal professional, right? But even in just zooming into my experience here at FileVine and working with the thousands of law firms that we deal with now, one of the hardest things is a true appreciation and an appropriate expectation around how hard it is to change human behavior. Technology is just a software. It's another tool. We personally think we have the best, obviously, but it's a tool, right? The idea behind simply adopting a technology is going to revolutionize your business. It certainly can aid and support in that. But the real essence of the question is, how are we going to change the human behavior that's wrapped around that technology to really drive the results that we all want? So changing mindset and changing human behavior is one of the most difficult tasks that an administration team and a managing partner have in front of them when they're adopting something new like Lead Docket or FileVine. So we have found all sorts of tips and tricks. One of the first things is you have to ensure that you have a trusted voice that can walk you through what it means to change behavior, change metrics, and how the technology supports both of those. And really start with the why. We have a whole set of trusted partners, certified implementation partners that we call them, that are trusted voices with Lead Docket and with FileVine that will come in and help that firm overcome that hurdle of changing human behavior. It's new. It's just like heart surgery. It's difficult. It's complex. But we firmly believe that the gains long-term are huge, and it's absolutely worth it if you can figure out, work closely with your team to change that human behavior.
So I have a feeling you sort of answered the question I'm going to ask you at this point is, how do you convince attorneys to spend the time that is necessary to do this? Because let's be frank, attorneys are usually very busy, and the last thing they want to do is give up time when they could either be, you know, practicing law or sleeping or practicing law. You know, it's all, you know, everyone's always so stressed and busy because about, you know, making sure they're meeting the deadlines, making sure they're returning calls to their clients, and also at the same time, you know, coming out with a good product. That being said, you know, how do you convince attorneys to, you know, give up some of that?
That's a great question. And there's a simple way and there's a not so simple way. I'll start with the simple way. Legal professionals tend to be competitive. There's no other way to put it. And what we've seen is if you have utilization metrics of, hey, Johnny did this much task-wise in the technology, and this person did this much, and you start to stack rank, you'll notice around the office that competitive nature, it will start to solve itself in terms of changing that human behavior to use the technology in the correct ways. You have to be a little bit careful. You have to know the culture of your law firm. You have to know the culture of your team. But for the most part, what we've seen, legal professionals are competitive. They want to do what's right, and they will correct their human behavior themselves if you can show where they fall in terms of technology usage and technology adoption. It's really interesting to see that. That's the simple way. The other way that's not so simple is starting with the why. And the whole thing behind that is what I call the technology black hole. The technology black hole is when you get into any technology, I don't care what software you're using, if you enter and enter data time after time, day after day, and you start to feel like a data entry clerk, you don't really feel like an attorney anymore. You don't really feel like a paralegal anymore. You start to think, am I a data entry clerk? Unfortunately, most of the times, they never see the return from that. And you have to, as a team and setting up your technology and as a leadership team, be bought in what that return is. Don't let it simply be a black hole. Don't let all the data go to waste. They have to understand, I'm doing this because on the back end, I'm going to get a report at the end of the week that is going to show me something that I never knew. I have to settle this case for more money because of that data entry and that hard work that I did up front. Right. I'm going to put all the data in because now I'm saving hours worth of time on the back end. So I think you see where I'm going is
technology has to support
that back end result.
Right.
Yes. And unfortunately, there are so many moments throughout the workday where that results side of the fence never happens. People don't see it. And when you don't see the results side, you don't do the first part. All of a sudden, you only use it for 1 hour out of the day. I don't need to enter this data because you never see the worth it side of the coin. So that all goes back to training and setup. Mm-hmm. If you can help them understand the why and help them get to results quickly, the better. At Filevine here, our co-founders have always said, Filevine and Lead Docket, the law jumps out at you. The next step in practicing law jumps out at you. And that's exactly why. You're entering this data. You're putting in your documents. You have all this information. The law should jump out at you as a user and as a customer, not simply be a technology black hole.
So how, quote unquote, instantaneous is this? Or maybe that's not the right word. So if the lawyer or lawyers are putting in the information, how, you know, quote unquote, instantaneous is the results of what you're referring to when you use something like Filevine?
I think it depends at which layer of your work you're talking about. At a high layer, when you're talking about getting a larger settlement because you were able to better connect with the client and you didn't let anything fall through the cracks from a deadline standpoint, obviously that could take a little bit longer. But we have things that are instantaneous. Let me give you an example. Built within Lead Docket and Filevine, mm-hmm. we have something called triggers on task flows.
Okay.
And you can set these up where it's an entire daisy chain of tasks. So when something happens, you get a document that normally you'd have to go and say, hey, can you do this? Okay, then that's going to trigger this to happen over here within 2 days.
Right.
Then you
right.
should receive this in 3 days after that. And by the way, if you don't get that, then you have to follow up with this within 24 hours and you got to get it to the courts within this. All of that can be automated and it can be instantaneous. So as soon as one button is pushed, it activates a whole daisy chain of what we call task flows.
Yeah.
To different members of your team, that is automated. You no longer have to worry about that. And it's all tracked within Filevine. It's all tracked within Lead Docket. And so that is something that jumps right out at you where you no longer have to go around, ask for updates, ask for follow-up, because that's all baked into the software.
Is any of that automatic in the sense, whether you're using a third party or baked naturally within Filevine for specific courts already?
Baked within Filevine. 100%.
So like certain courts, like, you know, perhaps federal courts or certain state courts.
Yeah, there are certain jurisdictions that our research teams are working on right now, but there is a good chunk in the country that are baked into Filevine.
So one of your, hopefully not to go off on too much of a tangent, one of your competitors, I won't mention the name. This is 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago when things were still, you know, new. And they're like, yeah, you know, we can do this. You know, you hire one of our, you know, third-party engineers and it'll take care of it for you and whatnot. And, you know, I had given them the all information. Then suddenly I'm like, well, you know, we still need a little more information from you. And as time's kind of growing on, you know, I'm still not seeing a product and I still can't use the product apparently because they need these extra little details. So they couldn't implement it. They couldn't update it. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I ended up firing them and rather disgust, you know, with a bit of disgust. You know, hopefully they've improved. But again, I don't want to mention names. But do you see like the concern Sure. I have is that, you know, fine, I got this great platform, except I can't use it because, you know, they're waiting on me or perhaps a third party to do something.
One of the things I absolutely love about LeadDocket and FileVine is traditionally, if you look at the 90s and you look at the early 2000s, traditionally, if you have on-prem software, you can do anything you want with it. Of course, you have a team of 5 to 10 engineers that have to work and babysit and monitor and build on top of, but it's yours. Then you get into cloud-based software, which we believe this is where the world is going. Cloud-based software that gives you accessibility, it gives you security, it gives you instantaneous updates. I mean, we push out updates on the daily. It gives all of that to you, and you don't have to think about it. You just push it through the cloud. Traditionally, people think that software has to be cookie cutter. It has to be canned. You buy it, you swipe your credit card, and you get what you get. At FileVine, we believe that there is a perfect middle ground, and that's exactly the line that we've towed since day one. We give you the Lego pieces to build any fortress that you want. The thing about cloud-based technology, traditionally speaking, is a lot of law firms feel like I have to now conform my law firm practice to the technology that I'm adopting. We don't think that's right. We think that the technology actually should conform to the how the law firm operates and how they practice. In some cases, how they've done things for over 100 years, right? It would be silly to say you have to do this way simply because that's the way the technology is built. And some of our competitors still make that statement. So we feel like we get the best of both worlds. You can build a FileVine that's cloud-based. You still get all the benefits of the cybersecurity world-class. You get all the benefits of you can be on the beaches of Spain sipping Sprite and you can still pull up the case on your phone. As long as you have access to the internet, you can have that on your phone and all the other benefits of being a cloud-based technology, while still also getting the benefits of you make it your own. There are no two FileVines that are the same. And it's a no-code solution to where you don't have to hire a third party. You don't have to hire anyone else. Now, some firms, they dedicate a certain FileVine admin to where they can go in and they can tinker around, but you don't have to have an engineer. And the big benefit to that, Michael, is you can, if you're opening up a law firm today, it's a two-person personal injury law firm, you could use FileVine today. We sign you up, you could use it. We have templates out of the box that are cookie cutter that will help you get something in place that you could use today and tomorrow very quickly. Or,
but wait, I'm going to pause you there. Please. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can still use FileVine as you incorporate or create new workflows.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
That was the problem I was having with the company that I was referring to that I'm not naming names.
1,000%. We have something, a tool within FileVine called Customs Editor. And that tool allows you to iterate and to optimize on the go. And we have firms doing that every day. So yes, to answer your question, that's exactly it. And you should, frankly, be doing that. As you grow as a law firm, a 20-person law firm, then to a 100-person law firm, you should have a different technology. Those are two drastically different phases within the growth of your company. So optimize along the way, make it better, and improve.
Excellent. Eric, is there anything else you want to add to that last answer?
Yeah, the last thing I'd mention, Michael, is this element of personalization, which I don't think we can underscore enough. Just a quick example of what we mean by that. In our personal lives, we all have phones. You get the iPhone box, right? You get the brand new iPhone, you open it up, and it always comes with factory settings the way they are. I don't know anyone that's had their phone longer than a day, maybe 2 days, where if you were to open up the home screen, it looks exactly the same way as it did when they pulled it out of the box and turned it on for the first time. Humans love to personalize their tech, personalize the way they do things. And that allows people to be more efficient. It allows them to take it as part of their own, and it makes it unique to their own workflow and how their brain works. We feel like legal software, whether it's LeadDocket or FileVine, we should give people the tools to personalize their own workflows based on how they practice law. That always has to be balanced with the standards and systems that the law firm puts in place, because you don't want individuals going rogue. But as long as you are within that umbrella, FileVine and LeadDocket, we give you the tools so each user can personalize their software, their workflows to the way they think and the way they work. That's the last comment I had in that for that question.
No, and I appreciate that. Let's move on to our last question. Question number 3. What do you feel are the top three tech tools lawyers can use for online marketing?
That is a great question. And I'm probably going to give you vague responses to this, but we're going to go there and then we can dig deeper if you'd like. So these aren't necessarily individual tools that you can sign up for and all of a sudden, you know, it helps from one day to the next. But these are more principles that I've picked up on in engaging with all of our fantastic customers and the market and going to dozens, if not hundreds by now, legal conferences where marketing comes up. The one first principle I'll mention is just making sure that as you're looking at the many tools and offerings that are out there when it comes to marketing, keep it you. Be genuine. Understand exactly who you and your law firm, what you are, and keep true to that. And make sure that the tool that you're looking for fits within that umbrella and within that schematic. So that's the first thing is don't believe everything you read or say, but make sure it fits with your principles of who you are and your target audience. So that's one thing that I would mention.
Well, I'm curious about that. Have you seen, if you don't mind naming names, have you seen a particular tool just not fit with the user?
No.
An example like that?
No, not necessarily. But more what I'm thinking of is we see when it comes to marketing, some tendencies where especially new law firms starting out, they want to be a jack of all trades. They want to get absolutely every single case that they can, which is fine if that's your thing. But we found that's not necessarily always the best case. At some point in the maturity and stage of a law firm, you somewhat niche down into who you are. Are you the motor vehicle accident attorney of your city? Are you the trucking accident attorney of your city? Are you the divorce attorney of wherever you are, whatever that region is? And I'm just saying these as examples. And so as you look at your tool set, just make sure that if the tool is geared towards, let's go out and see if we can get you more criminal cases, and that's only 5% of your business, then you might want to take a second look at that and say, is that really where I want to double down? Is that really my specialty? Is that my niche of where I want to play? That was my only thinking behind that principle, is just understanding who you want to be and who you are. Stay true to that as you search for tools that will help you with marketing.
Okay, excellent. So then your second answer.
I think there are two categories of law firms that are out there. Ones that are really good at social media and ones that are not so good or don't do it at all in terms of social media. And I think if you can go about it the right way and the smart way, and sometimes that tool may be a social media specialist, sometimes that tool could be a technology that will help you understand your audience better through social media trends. And I know there's a number of them out there, but I think it would be smart for law firms to start to understand social media as an avenue to get to the right audience. It's very impressive to me still how many law firms don't take advantage of social media. So that's my second point.
Social media, I agree with you. Social media, I think, is the yellow pages now of, you know, law firm advertising. I mean, I know back in the day, advertising, law firm advertising in the, you know, the white pages or the yellow pages was frowned upon. And then that sort of changed as the rules kind of developed and changed and grew over time. And I think that same kind of hesitation is the same for lawyers moving from yellow pages into media, social media. But I think it is happening. And one caveat I just want to make, there's a social media creator, a firm that does these great legal analysis of current news and also of movies. And it's a lot of fun to listen into. And then at the same time, they say, but if you need an attorney that handles personal injury and family issues and this and that, whatever it is they do, they sort of flip in that advertising, you know, just real quick and then continue on with their analysis of like my cousin Vinny, you know, like why this was correct, why this wasn't correct, was this a good job, things you don't do in court, you know, like talk back to the judge. It was just a lot of fun. And I could see how that subtlety, it's an entertaining social media post. At the same time, it's also a very good ad.
100%. I think the trends and the ways to reach your audience today are very different. And just like with artificial intelligence, in 6 months and in a year, in 3 years, it's going to change. I mean, TikTok's a huge platform that I know a lot of law firms are taking advantage of. Well, 5 years ago, was that the case? No, it wasn't. So it's going to continue to evolve. And I think having a team that can monitor and ensure that you're up to speed on that's important. And thirdly, my last point here, having a technology that can track. You can't improve what you don't track.
Yes.
Obviously, putting a plug-in for Lead Docket and FileVine, that's what we're about is tracking your results to the second, to the minute, day, hour, week, tracking those types of things so you can understand how efficient and effective you are in your online marketing is huge. So having a tool like Lead Docket, I think, is, I know this whole podcast has been about that basically, but having that would absolutely be one of the top three technology tools to make lawyers and law firms more successful with their online marketing.
Eric, I want to thank you for being here today. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so they can, obviously there's leaddocket.com, there's filevine.com. You can connect with me LinkedIn. I'm, for any listener that wants to reach out and has additional questions or wants to take a look at Lead Docket or Filevine, my email is super simple, eric@filevine.com. Feel free to reach out. I would welcome any additional discussions to go deeper on any of these topics.
I will be sure to have all that in the show notes. And again, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Michael. I very much enjoyed this podcast. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the TechSavvyLawyer.page podcast. Our next episode will be posted in about 2 weeks. If you have any ideas about a future episode, please contact me at michaeldj@thetechsavvylawyer.page. Have a great day and happy lawyering.